Welcome to the Person and the Power podcast with Pastor Tim Johnson, as he invites us to cultivate a deep and profound relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living and loving God. After 25 years of ministry, Pastor Tim's desire is that all of us would experience both the Spirit's transformational intimacy and the supernatural activity in our daily lives. Now, here's Pastor Tim.
Yes, there is a podcast today. Just wanted you to hear the sounds of the morning. So sometimes podcasts, as I think I shared last week with talking about Holy Week, and it was Thursday before Good Friday, and sometimes being outside, for me at least, the topic of the podcast kind of really determines the need to be outside. You can hear the noises, you can hear maybe the wind, you can hear the things of the environment. But there are some days that's just simply the weather that dictates that you should be outside and doing a podcast. This is beautiful. Oh my gosh, it is Thursday morning. It is absolutely gorgeous. You might hear a couple of birds singing, a little bit of a breeze. You might hear an occasional plane go over. But sitting here looking out the backyard, just this beautiful sunshine and cool nights, warm days. It is a perfect spring day. So hope and pray you kind of heard the noise of the morning for at least a few seconds. Wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Wherever you are, I do hope and pray this podcast finds you well and it finds you filled with the goodness, the love, the power of the Holy Spirit. Love you and appreciate you guys. And always do appreciate comments and the thoughts and conversation and the questions. And I've had several of those here along the way, especially the last few weeks, as we've kind of trailed Bible study on Wednesday night and moved it to the podcast for Friday. Not going to do that this week. May actually return to that next week. But today starts a revival here in Harrison County. It's a three-night revival, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night at the Harrison County Fairgrounds. Most of you who listen to this probably are aware of it. Pastor Tyler Sampson from First Capital, Pastor Chuck Morgan from New Hope Wesleyan, and myself here at Frimmers, we have collaborated for a three-night event that we hope and pray will be truly, truly impactful and just really work through our community. And so I'll share a little bit about that. Also, one of my very favorite, quote, revival, quote, awakening stories. I'll share that. Some of you have heard it. Others have not. It's so good that even if you've heard it more than once, I think you'll appreciate it next time. So regardless how many times you've heard it, you're about to hear it again. So, all right, let me pray. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you and praise you for this gorgeous morning. Again, there are some days that it's almost a crime to be inside because it's just, oh my gosh, the beauty of it and just the breeze, the sun, the warmth, just the bright sunshine and blue skies. And we do thank you for these days. But Lord, every day is a day that's been made for us. And so regardless of the weather, we do pray that we would rejoice in each and every day because we're rejoicing in you, not the forecast and not the goodness of the day, but the goodness of our God. So ask and pray your blessings upon this podcast. May these words be edifying to those listening, be glorifying to you for sure, and may they be absolutely anointed by you. As they come from my heart, my mind, and through my lips, may they be anointed by your Spirit. We love you, Lord. Thank you and trust you in Jesus, your mighty name. Amen. So again, we're having revival Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night, 6:30 at the Harrison County Fairgrounds. We'd love to see you. So as Pastor Tyler's idea, he reached out to us back in at least January, maybe earlier by now. And we started talking about it and thought, yeah, it'd be great. You know, pastor sometimes is, I know all of us, Pastor Chuck, Pastor Tyler, and myself have all talked about this, where so many times, if we're not careful, pastors and churches can get into this competition mode. They can get into this place of trying to vie for position, power, being the biggest church, the best church, even trying to get as many of the members back and forth. A lot of transfers in my life here, 20 plus years now, 21 years here, but also almost 30 years as a pastor, but 20 plus years here. And you see people that, they come to a church for a while, they either get mad, get hurt, or they just simply drop out and they pop up at another church. And so sometimes that breeds, that's a culture or at least an environment that could breed jealousy and frustration and even resentment. And one of the things I think that this revival is hoping to do is making sure that the community sees that there are pastors who have the same heart for the kingdom. We're about the kingdom. We really don't care. We're human, and we understand the hurts of people leaving churches and things like that. But what we really want is just people to be plugged in to a place where they can grow, they can mature, and they can be sanctified by the power of the Holy Spirit and become true, deep disciples of Jesus Christ. And so that really is the heartbeat of this revival. There's three themes. Each pastor is going to take a theme, and the theme for tonight is we are, who are we? That's kind of the question. Who are we as believers? And it's geared for obviously both believers and non-believers, or as I would say, sinners and saints. It is indeed geared toward understanding who we are in Christ and our identity and who we are as we walk this thing out called Christianity and as we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We are first and foremost lovers of Christ. And Pastor Chuck will touch on that tonight. We are lovers of Christ. What does that mean? And how does that impact our lives? And how does it impact the lives of those around us? How should it? And so he'll be looking at that. And we're also change agents or difference makers, as Pastor Tyler will share tomorrow. We're difference makers. We are those who are we're those who are going to make a difference in the community that we're at, in the world that we live in. We're going to make a difference around the people we are associated with. We're going to be difference makers because obviously Jesus has made a difference in our lives. Then we obviously want to make a difference in other people's lives. And then on Saturday night, I will be talking about, we're also peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? And so not only will I be looking at a little bit from the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous sermon of all, but also from a couple other places that we'll be looking at, what does it mean to be peacemakers? And so we'll be looking, that's the theme of our revival for this season. And we obviously hope to do it again, but we'll get through this week for sure and see how the Lord leads us. But I'm excited. I was so blessed for Pastor Tyler to reach out and love many of the people that go to First Capital. I know many of the people that go to New Hope and love them dearly. And I have always appreciated Pastor Chuck and Pastor Tyler. And so we are excited for this opportunity and hope and pray you join us. So a couple of thoughts as we head into this revival for tonight and tomorrow night and Saturday. Revival and awakening. So I don't do a ton of AI stuff, ChatGPT, I think it's called, or I don't do a ton of that, but it is, sometimes it'll just pop up. I don't have much control over it. When I do a Safari search or something on my laptop, it'll come up and usually I'll just scan right past it. But here, I decided to let AI help me here a little bit. So, and then we'll go into some biblical stuff as well. Amen. So, I just simply texted. I asked. First, I just said, "What's the difference between revival and awakening?" Because those are terms that sometimes can be interchangeable, but I don't think they really are. Sometimes I wonder if they are, and sometimes I think, "Are we cutting too thin?" Of a wedge here? Are we just slicing so thin that it doesn't really matter? And we put a lot of weight on words sometimes, but I call it, my analogy is, have you ever had a loaded baked potato, right? You have a baked potato bar, right? And on that bar, you got the plain baked potato. You grab that one, you remove the foil. You cut that sucker open, steaming hot. Obviously, first thing you do is throw a slab of butter on that thing, in that thing, so it can just melt. If you're like anything like me, you close that thing up so that that butter melts all so quickly and also uniformly. But the best potatoes, of course, are those that are already that have been cooked in that aluminum foil, baked in that aluminum foil, that foil wrap with salt. Come on, I heard several amens with some salt. And then when you put, after you've put the butter, Usually you got to put cheese because you got to put the stuff that's going to melt first. You just put the cheese in there and, or you put bacon. You put bacon in next and maybe then you put some sour cream and, oh, don't forget bacon. You got to put bacon on there and you might even put some more cheese or maybe even chives, onions. Oh, you got to put bacon. You got to put bacon on there. So you, what you've got is a loaded baked potato, right? And I say that to talk about loaded words. We have words that are loaded. We have loaded that with our own connotation, with our own culture. Some of them are bad connotations and some are bad loaded words. Some are good loaded words, but a lot of words that we use are loaded words. And I think revival might be one of them. Awakening might be one of them. It may or may not be. But I looked, and so here's the example. Here's the definition. Revival is the renewal of spiritual life, passion, and commitment within the church, believers. So revival, and I've said this before many and many a time. I've preached thousands. I think I've preached hundreds of revivals. Love preaching revivals and love the feel of them and especially love, hopefully, the scope and the impact of them. But revival is you have to be vived before you can be revived. So revival is really for believers, in a sense. And that's what this is what the AI would agree. It's for the renewal of spiritual life, passion, commitment within the church, right? Awakening is the broader societal level movement where non-believers become aware of God and they turn to faith. And it continues, it says, revival acts as a catalyst, restoring believers, while awakening impacts culture and brings multitudes to salvation. I would probably agree with that. I think most people would probably interchange the two. And I think the more common word might be revival. But I think revival, again, if you go along with the idea that you have to be vived before you can be revived, then revival is the word for believers, right? And awakening would be the word for the general society and people as a whole. So, but I do believe that whatever it is, there is supposed to be a great move of God that turns this, whether it's preaching, it's a word that convicts, challenges, convinces, the three C's, right? Challenges, convinces, and convicts, challenges, and convinces. And I really do believe the Holy Spirit is involved in all of that. And as we allow through the preaching of the Word of God and through the worship and through prayer and preparation, fasting, then guess what? Then that should kind of lay the ground, cultivate, the ground, at least begin to work the ground in such a way where revival or awakening can happen, right? So one of the things I've been praying for this week and been praying for what I'll share on Saturday and been praying for Chuck for tonight, Pastor Chuck and Pastor Tyler tomorrow night. Also, just praying for Harrison County because we know there's lots of folks who need awakening to the power of God, the love of God, the power of Christ. But there's still a lot of folk who need reviving, right? There's people who slide back a little bit and they don't have as much passion or fire for the Lord as they used to or they want to. And so my prayer is that there's this real both awakening and reviving in the lives of Harrison County and here in Harrison County. So years ago, one of my favorite stories, I actually was an associate pastor in Greensburg. Again, some of you have heard this story. Some of you may not. Some of you some of you may have heard this. This will be the third, fourth, fifth time. But it's a good story, right? If you've heard it more than once, you already know it now. And if you know what I'm about, you probably already know what I'm going to say. But it's a good story. So buckle in. So I was associate pastor in Greensburg, Indiana. I was asked, thanks to a student of mine that had just finished their youth. I was in charge of youth at Greensburg, as most associate pastors are. You're in charge of youth, missions, things like that. And so I was helping with youth, and one of our students went over, had either connections or was attending DePaul University over in southwestern Indiana. Well, at the time, I don't know what DePaul University is now, but at the time it was known as a pretty liberal school. All right, so I don't know what it is now. I'm not necessarily known as a liberal theologian or a liberal preacher. I'm a pretty conservative preacher. Now, I think I have a moderate mindset. I meet with all people. I meet them where they are. I think I've really learned well how to meet people where they are. And And I just really love people where they are. And I embrace people. I don't have to endorse anything, but I do embrace people. I think I've learned how to do that over the years. And I hope that's really one of my calling cards. I hope that's one of the marks of my life, because I think that was Jesus. But still, obviously very, very confident in the Word of God and the story of salvation, and don't change that one little bit. But I certainly love people where they are. So all this to say, I actually called the folk that were there at the time and said, "So I just want to make sure you're asking me to preach." It was actually an opening convocation. It was opening night. It was going to be it ended up being, I think, the largest night, because it's opening evening for the class session for the class. It was either, I think it was sometime in early September. It was, I think, at 8 o'clock, 7 or 8 o'clock in the evening, when all college students rise from their slumber. So, and it was, we were gonna, it was gonna be the all campus first convocation of the year, and they wanted me to share. And so I said, okay. I called them. I said, now I just want you to know, I'm pretty conservative. Is it okay? And they said, oh yeah, we like diversity. I said, okay. So. I'm praying for the week. I've got the message. I go over there. I want to say it's a Thursday night. I'm pretty sure it was a Thursday night, and opening convocation for the campus that week, for the semester, for the fall semester, except again, early September. And head over there. Now, it was kind of a train wreck from the beginning. Apparently something had been booked in the place and space that they were going to have the convocation, the opening worship for the semester. And so they had to move at the last minute. They had to get the word out, and they moved it to an old church building on the Paw campus. Well, unfortunately they didn't have sound as much. I think they had one mic that I used, I think, but they didn't have sound for the worship team. But that was great, because it ended up being incredible acoustics. So all of this going on. And so it got changed, and I'm thinking, well, I don't know what's going to happen, because I got there early. But it ended up, the place was packed. Faculty, administrators, students, of course, it was packed. The whole church, it was a large church, I'd say probably 500 people, but it was packed, okay? So I'm there, and I'm getting ready to preach. The worship starts around 8, I believe. Again, maybe it's supposed to start at 7, but whatever the case, because of the mix-up of location, it started later. And so 8 o'clock, I think, worship starts. And I start preaching at 9, okay? Well, revival preaching, and you usually have a little bit longer than Sunday mornings now here at Firmer's Chapel. Anyway, enough said. So, but I'm blessed with a church that wants a little bit more in-depth preaching than just simply 25 minutes. I really am. I'm blessed. So, but I'm preaching. I preach about an hour, and here's the topic. I still remember so clearly, guys, the sermon topic for that night. 5 reasons why Joseph should have slept with Potiphar's wife. 5 reasons why Joseph should have slept with Potiphar's wife. And so I told the story. Joseph and Potiphar, and the member of the story where Potiphar's wife tries to actually get Joseph to sleep with her, and grabs him, because of his integrity, he pushes her away and says no and runs. And but of course Potiphar's wife lies, and because of that lie, and because of that, because of her pointing the finger, I just lost the word, indicting him, I think, I can't remember, but accusing him, that's the word, thank you, because she was accusing him, he gets thrown into prison. Of course, then God works in the years of prison and the dreams and all that, and Joseph, of course, becomes second in charge of all of Egypt. But before that, there's this accusation, and he is found, quote, guilty, that even though he's innocent, right? So I lay out the 5 societal reasons, and there are 5 reasons. He would have avoided probably prison. He would have maybe had more power at that time earlier than he got, right? There were shortcuts. And then at the end, I said, there's only one reason that he didn't. And there's only one reason he shouldn't have. We are to be holy before God. Holiness. 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 And I shared that. And at the end, I was led. I don't sing much. I'm a singer, but I'm not a singer. I love to sing, but I'm not a singer. And at the time, there is a song, a worship song, still today, very, very, very dear to my heart. But give us clean hands. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Right? Let us not lift our souls to another. Right? And God, let us be a generation that seeks the face of God. And so I sang that. As an altar call, I sang that. Acapulco, no music. I just sang that. And so, guys, if you want holiness tonight, if you want to start the year in holiness, the invitation is here. I'd love to pray with you at the altar. What happened next is a highlight of ministry life in my life. It's one of the top highlights of my life. But it could only be explained as a revival on campus, awakening. At 10 o'clock, when I finished, I sang that song, and students came, and they 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 flooded the altar rails, and teachers were there, administrators were there, literally dozens upon dozens upon dozens. There were two or three or four persons deep at the altar, weeping, confessing sin, of sexual sin, of cheating on tests, of lying to parents, of illegal drugs on campus. I mean, it was crazy. I started praying with them. I was stunned, and everyone else, you could tell some praise team members had come up and now began to play. And I think they actually picked up the song, Give Us Clean Hands. And as I was praying with them, the praying at the altar started at 10. The security guard came to close up the church at midnight. An African-American security guard, he peeked in, he said, oh my. And I'm watching in, I'm still trying to pray. There's still literally dozens upon dozens upon dozens of people at this altar rail. And finally, about 12:30, he checks in a couple different times. And 12:30, he says, I'm so sorry, sir, but I'm going to have to close this. Is there any way that we can move this? I have to shut this down. There's a place I think it was like the student union that stayed open, but I've got to lock the church. I've got to clear it out. And so around 12:30 or so, I can't remember exactly what time, but we had to make the announcement. Guys, if we hate to interrupt what God's doing here, but the security guard needs to close this building. And if you want to move to the student union, and I'm thinking, well, that's it. That's over. You know, everyone, they're not going. Nope. Dozens upon dozens upon dozens went to the student union. And I was there for another 2 hours, from at least 12:30 to almost 2:30 to 3:00. Praying with students upon students, again, teachers, faculty, administrators, just wanting holiness in their life, wanting not to compromise with a culture that Joseph did not, that Joseph could have and should have, quote unquote, right? Five reasons why Joseph should have slept with Potiphar's wife, one reason why he didn't and shouldn't. And so just this incredible move of a desire of holiness, this incredible move of a desire to be like God and to be, and so I still remember so clearly. It was around 3:30 in the morning. I had been praying for now 5.5 hours with people, and finally, the last few people are kind of winding down. And about 4 o'clock, I still remember about 4 o'clock. I was walking across, you know, warmer evening, you know, warmer morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm walking across the one of the grassy parts of the campus. And as I was, there's a group of ladies, college ladies, about probably four or five or six of them, kind of circled up, kind of sitting cross-legged on the lawn, 4 o'clock in the morning. And one of them popped up and said, "Are you the pastor that just preached earlier last night? Are you the pastor?" I said, "Well, I am." "And are you the preacher?" "Yes, I'm the speaker." I think they said, "Are you the speaker?" I said, "Yeah." "Well, we weren't there, but we've heard something's happening. And could you pray for us?" So at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm praying with the last six people there on campus, there on the lawn, 4 a.m. And I'm praying, and they all accepted Christ in their life. They had not accepted Christ at that point. They had not accepted Jesus. I drove home dazed and amazed by the power of God. Dazed and amazed by the power of God. I don't know what God's going to do in this revival here in these next 3 days. Every revival I've learned is a little different. Every move of God is different. Every awakening is different. But every revival and every awakening has at least a couple things in common. One, it's a turning back to God. It's a turning back to God in some form or fashion. And it's also a focus on the power, the love, and the grace of God. So whatever does happen here these next 3 days, I hope and pray you will join me wherever you might be and where you're listening and wherever you live, that God will do a good reviving work and a good awakening work here in Harrison County. And that he'll use 3 pastors and 3 churches and a host of other people to bring about his goodness, his grace, his mercy. May revival happen where you are. May awakening happen where you are. And may we continue to be awed, dazed at how God works. Be blessed in the reviving, awakening name of Jesus Christ.
Pastor Tim is the co-founder and teaching director of the Joshua Center, a leadership training ministry which provides deep biblical roots to great movements of God. He's also the senior pastor of Frimmer's Chapel, a country church by a creek, reaching 13 countries on 4 different continents for Jesus and his kingdom. Join us next time as we grow deeper in the person and the power.